We desire your prayers. This is the last service for this year. Have you thought of that? For 2013, this is the last worship service that we'll be together in. I have found the Lord be very faithful in the past, especially there in the congregation. I have found him giving inspiration a lot of times on the first Sunday of each year. Sometimes he will give inspiration in such thoughts as, this is going to be a year of faith, or a year of occupying until he comes. Down through the years, he's given inspiration to begin a new year. What I feel the Lord has laid on my heart is along that line. We're facing a new year if the Lord tarries. And so I believe that something that he has spoken to my heart is for what lies ahead. So we desire your prayers, and we want to begin in Psalms 19 and the first four verses, parts of that. Just want to, this is not necessarily the direction, but it's a thought. We believe the Lord wants to speak to us. It says, the heavens declare, and the firmament sheweth. Yes. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, you and I may be rushing to and fro, day in and day out, and there is something being spoken day in and day out, every night. If you stepped out and you looked up in the sky, if you beheld the moon that was coming up in the eastern sky, and it happened to be a full moon, it speaks something to you and me. Every day, the very fact that we still have day is saying something. And it says that their line or rule or direction is gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. So I believe that the Lord wants us to take a moment and think about, what is God trying to say to you and me on this last night of service as we face 2014. Our next scripture is in Ecclesiastes 1. We're going to be looking at verses 4, 5, and 9. And it says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. The sun ariseth, the sun goeth down. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. We can look back. I am 68 years old now. I never dreamed I would live to be this old. Really didn't want to. I didn't really want to get old. But I am there. And I am thankful for the blessings of the Lord. And he has ministered to me. I have no fault with God at all. There have been generations before us that we remember. We remember the older ministers. We remember those that when we were very young, their names. We remember their messages. Maybe not specific messages, but we can remember the fire of their messages. When I was a little girl, When I was very young, even as Carissa, her age, I listened to the preached word. I understood it. I wanted to be a saint all the way. I said it to myself. When I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. It was always a desire in my heart. I didn't follow that for many years. Not until the age of 30 did I get saved, never to give up again. But you know, those generations have gone, and they handed my generation something. And tonight, this generation is passing something to this generation, to the children, to the young people, to those that are in the middle years of their life. There needs to be a real resolve in your heart, an opening in your heart, a desire that says, I want to be a saint all the way. I don't want to live this thing part way. I want to be this way all the way. So we have days that come and go, and the years have flown by. And those of you that are young, I believe you're sensing and feeling the passing of time, even now, like not in our day. I remember when I was working in the school a number of years ago, and it just seemed like a school year went so quickly. When I was in school, it seemed as though it would never end. And maybe some of you felt that way too. But I have had the children say, this school year has passed so quickly. That says something to me. We are fast moving to eternity. And the days are quickly flying by. The next scripture I have is Isaiah 40 and 28. It says, in the very first part of that verse, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? And I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to complete that scripture, because I'm going to present the questions to you. Have you heard the messages? Do you know what the messages have said? Is tonight's message going to be something new and different and astounding? And what's going to be different about tonight than any other night or any other message of this week? The truth is, it will not be different. God has the same message. He's sending the same message to his people. And it's speaking throughout the world, even through the events of the day, the events of the night, the very nature itself is crying out to individuals to look to their Creator. And so we know that everyone that is here, you have heard it, and you know what it is. I am thinking about all the different kinds of messages that you and I have heard. I am glad God has a plan such as he has, because he uses different ministers, different voices. He uses different deliveries. Why does he do that? Because he intends for something in one of those to be able to affect you. We aren't limited, see, to just one minister, one voice, and one type of delivery. He has considered all of his people, and whatever kind of delivery appeals to you, he uses that. What kind of voice that doesn't grate on you. He uses that, see. So there's been many different messages. The word is speaking for all to hear, for every person. So I believe that in this week alone, throughout the 30-some messages that has been given, surely there have been some messages that has spoken to you. God did that. He is speaking to us day by day, night by night. Our next scripture is Isaiah 55 and 11. And it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper where I send it. The Lord has sent his word another assembly meeting. He says, my word is not going to be empty. It's not going to be producing no effect. He has sent out his word to have an effect. It's up to us to allow it to affect us. Thank the Lord. Our next scripture, and I'm coming to the burden of our heart soon. Amos 7 and 8. And it says, then said the Lord, behold, I set a plumb line in the midst of my people, and I will not pass by them anymore. Do you see why we can say that the word of the Lord will not return void? He does not change. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. For the past generation, for this generation, and for the future generations, the messages will be the same. When he set the plumb line, he is saying, this is where you come to. We never are able in our humanity to pull that plumb line to fit us. We must come and fit the plumb line. So the word of the Lord is like a plumb line that he has set in the midst of his people. And he is not passing this way again. He is not going to change it for the future generation. It will be the same. So our thought now is in 1 Peter. We desire that the Lord will bless his word tonight. We are leaning on the Lord. We recognize our insufficiency. But in the fourth chapter, we're going to look at verses 17 and 18. And it says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Judgment begins here. Our thought, our burden tonight is on judgment. The judgment of God and what he says about it. He says, I'm not passing this way again. I'm not changing my judgment of what is right and what is wrong. I am not changing my judgment on what is righteousness and what is unrighteousness. He says that we need to understand his judgments right here in the house of the Lord. This is where we hear the expounding of the word of God to teach us, to instruct us. He spoke about his Holy Spirit and what the office of his Holy Spirit would do. He said that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. It is the same Holy Spirit. It is not a new and different and revised Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit that spoke to our forefathers, that is speaking to us today, that will speak to the next generation. But it begins right here. He said that he chose the foolishness of this method right here, the foolishness of preaching, to save you and me that will believe. We're here tonight because we have believed the Word of God. At some point in time in your life and in mine, we have taken the Word of God, we have eaten it, haven't we? Didn't he say in one place, here, take my word, take this little book and eat it. And he said, in your mouth it's going to be sweet, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. There's a reason that he said it that way. You and I can come and sit in heavenly places and we can hear the word of God expounded and we can go away and we can say, wasn't that a wonderful message? And then as we begin to apply it into our life, when we digest that in our life, sometimes we meet the opposition of having faith for the Word. So the Word of God is something that you and I must eat. We must take it into our lives. We must accept it. We must embrace it. But it begins here. How much have I learned through the preached word? So valuable to me for my whole life. The scripture says that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. A table has been spread all week long, and all the messages that we've heard, that we've come and feasted on, a table has been spread in the very presence of our enemy. Satan has been here too. Do you know Satan goes to church too? He absolutely is here tonight to try to snatch away the word of God, to try to hinder you from receiving something of understanding of these judgments that are to come. And judgment is coming. And we learn about it as we hear the preached word going forth. Judgments have come throughout all the ages. Judgments have come to all peoples, to all nations. Many times judgments come through disasters. That is not a popular thought. People do not want to think that God brings judgments through the natural disasters of the earth. But you know what? Our insurance calls certain acts, acts of God. God is the one that allows the disasters of our world. Do you believe that? What is the purpose of those kind of judgments? When I looked up this definition, it even gave a definition in the Webster that said, a disaster or misfortune regarded as inflicted by God as a punishment for sin. Someone that began to develop the definitions for all generations to look up in their schooling and understand the vocabulary of it, the meaning of these words, understood something, that judgments do happen. Disasters and misfortunes are sometimes inflicted by God as a punishment for sin. I thought about the first recorded disaster. In Genesis, we found that God repented that he made man. For man's heart was, his thoughts were evil continually. Man had depraved himself. They were wicked. But there was one that did not fall to those low places but had favor with God. Just one. And he saved himself. He saved his wife and his sons and their wives. But the truth of the matter is, the judgment did not come instantly. God gave them a space of time. The scripture says 120 years that Moses, that Noah was in the process of building the ark. And the scripture also says he was preaching. He no doubt was warning the people to change, to turn. The ark could have no doubt held many more people had there been those that would have turned. But they turned their ears away from the word of God. They continued in their wicked way. And the day came that God called Noah and his family into the ark, and God himself shut the door. Noah did not shut the door. Had Noah been the one that had pressed the lock on that door, when the people's cries reached his ears, he might would have softened. He might would have said, wait a minute, I can't let them all die. He would have opened that door and brought in sin that would have continued. But it was God that shut the door. It was the judgment of God on a perverse generation that rejected God. The next disaster was with Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll find this in the 18th chapter of Genesis. This is a very unpopular account. Many people today are turning their eyes away from it. They're turning their ears away from this. They're trying to make a different explanation for why Sodom and Gomorrah would have been destroyed. But we have an account here, beginning at verse 20 of the 18th chapter. We won't read it all. But God said, he said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. God himself heard the cry of this wickedness. He went to investigate it. He is a God that does not cut people off instantly. He gave a space of time. How long? I don't know how long that Sodom and Gomorrah was in the gross sins of homosexuality. I don't know. It doesn't say that here. But it came to a point that the cry came up before God, and he went to look it over. And what he found that it was a gross city, filled with unrighteousness. And yet he allowed Abraham to know of his plan. And Abraham began to appeal to God. And he began to say, are you going to kill the righteous with the unrighteous? He said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 23. He said, what if there are 50 righteous people in this city? Will you spare it? And God said, yes. If I can go down there and find 50 righteous people, I will not destroy that city. Then he went a little bit farther, for Abraham probably began to think, I'm not sure there could be 50 righteous people. So he took it to 45. And we all know the account. He reasoned with God. He went to 40. Lord, if there is 30, will you spare the city? And God said, yes, I'll spare it if there is 30 righteous people. He went to 20. And then he finally went to 10. And the scripture says there, I will not destroy it for 20's sake, verse 32. And he said, Abraham said this, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, God said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. You know, there's a scripture here, verse 25. Look at the last part of it. Something that Abraham said to God in his reasoning with him, he said this, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You know, the God of all of this earth is the judge of all of the earth. And he will do right. He will do right by the righteous. He will do right by the wicked. That's what his judgments are. His judgments are right. He is not a God that will change. He does not show favoritism. He does not show partiality. He doesn't show any mixed judgments for one over another. Let's read a little bit about his judgments. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. It goes on and it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Have you heard that before? Do you know that scripture is in the Bible? We know it. We've heard it. And we know that it's God's nature to not execute judgment speedily. He gives people opportunity. He gives them many chances. He works with whole nations. I think about the message Brother Gracie brought to us the other morning. And he gave us some real information of the history of this nation concerning our educational system and how that for 200 years our public school system used the Bible to teach the ABCs. And it came down and it began to digress. Our nation has slipped far from that 200 years. And he proved it to us. He began to tell us events that took place in 1963 with the Supreme Court taking prayer out of the school. In the United States, taking the Ten Commandments away from the schools and away from the public places. You know, our generation now doesn't even know those things. I graduated in 1963. We still had prayer in the school when I graduated. But it was after that. And Brother Gracie was talking to me afterwards. He said he was in school after that. He said he never knew it ever existed because it wasn't in that generation. The generations have come. The generations have gone. And these things have slowly, slowly changed and altered. Our laws have changed. We have abortion. I remember in the 60s reading about abortion and thinking that will never happen in the United States. And yet what do we have now? It's common. The next generation will probably not even have any thought of what is wrong with an abortion if you don't want that child. I want to tell you, God's judgment is going to come on these kind of things. God's judgment is going to come on this nation. Our nation has gone far from God. I know this is all understood by us here today. But you and I are the righteous of the earth. It is important, as was brought out that day, how important it is that we pray, that we get a hold of God for our nation, for our people. Someone read the scripture that day, that we were to pray that we would be able to live a quiet and a peaceful life. I'm so glad that that's in the Word. And it even said that it was the will of the Father. It was God's will for you and me to pray that way. We're coming down to the end of this age. We're coming down to the end of time itself, where eternity and time will meet. The song says the crashing of ages, where time and eternity meet. We're facing that when we don't know. But that is going to be a judgment. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, what happens? The hearts of men are fully set to do evil. God's judgment is long in coming. It was 120 years before the flood. He gave them opportunity for 120 years. How long has God spared our nation? Haven't we been spared many years? I want to tell you, if judgments had started coming, would our nation have changed? Would we have considered what happened when 9-1-1, when the towers were hit with those airplanes? What happened to our nation then? Didn't this nation go to their knees? Wasn't there much talk about prayer? Encouraging people to call on God? Yes. And no doubt it touched many hearts. But what happened after that? Time went on. Don't you know when time goes on and nothing else happens, the people begin to fall back into their normal ways? Prayer doesn't seem quite so important. God is not really that close or present in their minds. They go about their wicked and evil ways, and they continue on. But God will bring judgment. The scripture I read there in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter in verse 18. It spoke to the righteous. It said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does that mean? Does that mean that the power of God is less in our day? That we will hardly be able to get saved or be saved or keep saved? It will be with difficulty. The Word tells us that in the last days, it will be perilous times. Yeah. It will be dangerous times. There are dangers around us, physical dangers, but above all of that, there are spiritual dangers. Many people are being affected by the very God of this world to blind their eyes, to deceive their hearts, and they will be lost. They will be damned. That's the danger of our age, more than the physical. It is a spiritual danger. I'm thinking about judgment, that it can sometimes be the corrections that God allows in your life and mine. Have you ever been corrected? Doesn't the scripture tell us that if he corrects us, that he deals with us as sons? I have been corrected. I thank God for the corrections that he has brought in my life. It proves his love to me. Doesn't it say that a father that corrects his son does it because of his love, that God himself corrects his children because he loves us. He desires that we be the people that he's calling for us to be. And so he sends correction. And sometimes that could be called judgment. That could be something that would be hard, that would be almost like a disaster. And yet God can cause, doesn't his word say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. When the saint of God, when the child of God is being corrected, when we know that we're being corrected, and it's something very hard, we stand on that scripture. He will turn that which seems to harm me into everlasting good. Oh, without these encouraging scriptures, we would maybe fail in our faith. We would maybe fall because of discouragement. When the trial of being corrected might be so hard. When I am crying out to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I want you to correct me. I want you to beat me with many stripes, if that's what it will take. But I'm asking you to do it in mercy. I'm asking you to reveal why you're doing it. You see, when a parent just simply takes up a child and gives them a whipping for no explanation, what good is it? That child will go away and say, I don't even know why they whipped me. God is not that way. You cry unto the Lord. You say, Lord, reveal yourself as to why you're correcting me. I'll yield to it. I'll submit to it. I'll give up my way. Lord, help us all that in the judgments that come to us in life, the corrections, that we'll receive the good that he's intending for it to be in our lives. But the righteous, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Acts the 17th chapter, verse 31. It says, he, God, I'm going to put God in there, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in what? In righteousness. God is not going to judge this world just for the sake of judging. The world is going to be judged according to the word of God, according to his righteousness. Every person that has been born on the face of the earth, God has given them opportunity at some point in time in their life to know what the judgments of God are, what his laws say, what his precepts are. Some people may have it by even just the things they've learned in life. But God reveals those things. And so when we come to the end of our life, those are going to be the things that's going to be on this scale. One side is going to be the word of God, but I'm going to be over here on the other side. And the scale is either going to tip or it's going to be in a balance. If I have lived unto the Lord, if I have obeyed his word, the scales will prove it. It cannot lie. It will not change. It will be the word of God. He's judging the whole world with his righteousness. Thank the Lord. Psalms 96, verse 13, says, he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Do you see why it's so important that we understand the Word of God? The Word says for you and me to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved unto God. I learn what the Word says through the Holy Spirit, revealing it to me through conviction, through enlightening, through leading, through guiding. I learn it through the preached word. I learn it when I go to Sunday school. I learn it when we have family worship. Didn't the Word of God say for the parents to teach the Word of God when their children were rising up, when they were going out, when they were coming in, when they were sitting down? That meant you teach it, you keep the Word of God before your children day through day, day by day, night by night. We read the scripture there in the beginning. That all speaks something. You're building something in those children. You're giving them a foundation that they can build their lives on. They can know the truth, because the truth is what they're going to be judged by in the end of all of this. The truth, the righteousness, is what you and I are going to be weighed against. It won't be my opinion. It won't be some kind of philosophy. It won't be some kind of doctrine that just cuts it a little bit short. It's going to be the full Word of God. God is bringing judgment on this earth, and he's bringing judgments in our life, preparing us for the last judgment. Romans 14 and 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment of Christ. Not one of us here today or in the whole world will miss this place of judgment. You're going to stand before the judgment bar of God for yourself. You're going to give an account for your life. We can look at all of the judgments of the world, the disasters of the world. We may even say, I wonder why it happened to that city. I wonder why it happened to that country. And we might get our eyes fixed on the judgments of the world and forget to look at myself, that I'm going to be judged. I'm going to stand before the judgment bar of God. There's not going to be anyone else there that will give a testimony for me. There will not be anyone there to give a testimony for you. It will be you and God. It will be you and the Word of God. It will be you and the righteousness of God. And that's what you and I will be judged by. Oh, God, help us to see how serious our judgment will be at the end of our life. It goes on and it says, Psalms 139, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And it says this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Don't you know that God knows you all the way through your life, your thoughts? He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows your purposes. You can't escape. You can't make an excuse. You can't say, I didn't mean it. For God will know if you really did mean it. He knows everything about us. And it says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. And for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know, the scripture says that he wants to make a way of escape. He wants you and me to be able to avail ourselves of the very power of God, to be able to escape the judgments, but it's going to be through the blood. Because He knows. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about you and me. And we cannot escape it, except we repent. The scripture also says, and this is the danger, is that every man believes he's right in his own eyes. It's not worded exactly that way, but that's what it means. And that's where we are. If we deceive ourselves, if we allow the enemy to blind our eyes, I want to tell you the prayer that I have for myself almost every time I pray. Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be blind. Don't let me believe a lie about myself. Pray that way for yourself too. Tell the Lord you don't want to believe a lie about yourself. I want to tell you the devil can cause us to believe a lie about ourselves. And we will be damned. There's people that believe lies about themselves. There's a scripture that says that man seeth himself in a mirror. You know the Word of God. It comes forth and it's for the purpose of opening our eyes to ourselves, not opening my eyes to my neighbor. And the Word of God has done that this week. And unless we have yielded to that gentle spirit that draws us at that very moment, we will go out the door and forget what manner of person we are. We'll just let that thing slip. But God has been faithful. He has revealed it, and we have rejected it. If there's anything that the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you about when you kneel in your devotional prayer, listen to the still small voice. Let the Lord search you. Cry out to the Lord and say that, Lord, search me and try me and see if there is any wicked way in me. I want to tell you, God has an all-searching eye, and He will be faithful to your soul. Don't be afraid to say to the Lord, to search me and try me. Many people get afraid of those words, try me. They're afraid of what that might be. But I want to tell you, it's worth it. I had an experience. I've always felt like that Monarch was my new year. Those in our congregation know I say that. But there was a number of years ago that I just did not get from Monarch what I normally got. I was big, get something to encourage me to go another year. And I went home and I was burdened about it, and I went before the Lord and I was crying out to the Lord because I needed strength. The Lord put these words in my mouth. And as soon as I said the words, a chill went over my body because I knew I was asking for something hard. But those words were this, Lord, try me. And then it was as though the Lord just sort of stood back and said, now, what are you going to do with those words? I felt the pleasure of the Lord, and I willingly prayed that way. For weeks, every time I prayed, I said, Lord, I want you to try me. I knew when the trying started, but I thought it would just be a short time. And I thought to myself, oh, I can make it through this. But it wasn't a short time. It got harder. It got harder. It came to the point I didn't know if I could make it. And yet I knew the Lord was pleased. I want to tell you of one of my experiences during that time. For 3 months, every day, I labored under a line that was drawn in front of me. And it was a temptation. The words were spoken to me. Just step across that line and you'll never have to preach again. Oh, the temptation was so great. I wept nearly every day. And then one day, the Lord helped me to turn, and I saw a city set on a hill. I didn't turn and run right then. This temptation was as strong as a magnet, and I turned and looked at it one more time. The only reason I did not step across that line was because I didn't think I'd get back. Oh, I wouldn't have had to have preached again. The enemy was fighting it so hard. But I want to testify to you today that God brought me through that, and he brought me out into a wealthy place. He taught me things that I could not have learned any other way. And so don't be afraid to say to the Lord, Lord, try me. He wants to purge us and purify us as gold is pure. And the Lord did that in that 3-year period of time. So this evening, I want to say to us all, don't draw back. Don't draw back. There is a judgment that is coming. If the judgment does not come in your lifetime, with time being no more, it could still come to us individually. Time is going fast. Brother Austis used to say that the closer that we got to the end, the faster time would go. He likened it to a waterfall. And we all know, if you've ever seen the pictures of the Niagara Falls, there is a point of no return. If you fall into that water, past that point, you will go over the edge because of the forces of the water. It is so swift, and you will die. Time is doing that right now. It is rushing to eternity. Awake, the scripture said, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. The church of God needs to be fully awake for the judgments that are coming. It could be that in your lifetime, our nation may suffer judgments and the righteous may suffer with the wicked. Do you have grace? I'm not saying that to frighten us, but I think we're in a preparing time. There is one other scripture I want to leave with you. Oh, I have more. Time's gotten away. But David said in one place, he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Did you know that God is going to judge all the secrets? That everything that is hid is going to be made known? Don't try to hide things in your life. Don't allow the enemy to make you believe that if nobody else knows, the Word of God is going to show us up, because he will reveal every secret thing, he said. Cry a prayer and say, Lord, cleanse me from the secret faults. He also said, keep me from presumptuous sins. What is that? What is presumptuous sins? If I am presuming something, then it's to assume something is true. Presumptuous means self-confident in what one believes or presumes to be true. And David realized that he could have presumptuous sins that he thought was okay. Cry that same prayer. Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. I think I might have already quoted this scripture. And you've heard it before, and you know it. The scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die. And what's after that? Okay, if you're hearing the voice saying that verse, your appointment hasn't come. Your appointment has not come yet. But you have an appointed time. I have an appointed time to meet my Maker, to be judged. Lord, help us all to be reminded that there is a judgment that is coming, that God will judge the whole world. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He'll do right. He'll do right by the righteous, and he will do right by the wicked. He will be fair. With whatever your life was, whatever your deeds were, if it was righteous, he will judge you to be righteous. If your life had secrets and hidden things, he'll be fair. He'll do right. Pray for me.